comments within the following podcast are those of any show hosts and not representative of any company in which the show hosts may represent. Welcome to podcast one from whitecanetravel.com. In this edition of the podcast, we talk about various things in regards to mobility, crossing streets, and a whole lot more. This program may contain some strong language, so if you are offended, please be aware of the fact that there will be some strong language in this program. The program will last you approximately an hour and a half. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, please feel free to send us an email at contact, contact, at whitecanetravel.com, or call the comment line at 206-222-3143. And now, without further ado, here are Jared Reimer and John Field. Alright everyone, welcome to podcast number one of White Cane Travel. I'm Jared Reimer.
And I'm John Field.
Well, if everything goes to plan and this turns out to be a success, we'll have more podcasts and maybe we'll even bring them onto the site, but it'll be hosted off-site through a downloads portal, and we hope that you enjoy this podcast. This is being taped on June 29th, 2015, a little after 9 p.m. Pacific and 11 p.m. on the Central Coast. And we've got some... we could have some of those too. We could definitely have some.
I was hoping I could muffle that one, but it didn't work too well.
We could have some of those throughout the program too, but we're going to try and be serious because
we have our moments of laughter here. Yeah.
We've got a topic that I think people will really definitely be interested in, especially because it's been now 2 weeks since this incident. About the 19th of June.
I will never forget when, Guy, you told me about this, because it made me reflect on my own training, and it made me think about the fact that, there are things that, we have to do, those of us who are blind. There are things that blind folks have to do in order to know what it takes to cross the street safely and independently, as well as the fact that there are things that, sighted people are taught really from an early age, mostly.
I saw somebody actually do the same thing again today, but I don't know if it was the same guy. So I didn't say anything like I did last time.
Yeah.
But I think it was the same guy because he went for the same bus, but I can't prove it.
It's funny because I was thinking, thinking back to when I was a kid. My brother, who's a year younger than I am, he's fully sighted. And I remember at about 5 years old, he learned, the importance about, for the sighted people, he learned the importance of, when you cross the street, make sure you look both ways before you cross. At that point, he would just go to his friend's house, which was practically and literally almost directly across the street. So there was no lights to cross at, but that's the first step in knowing or a certain person how to cross the street.
Are you having problems in the studio today?
Maybe shouldn't have drank that soda when I did. I thought about, when I was growing up, and we had similar experiences when it came to learning about street crossings overall. And, we are, for lack of a better word, in the simplest of terms, are taught to listen both ways. Listen to what's happening directly in front of us and to our left or to our right. We have to be paying attention. And there are certain rules that we're taught in order to protect ourselves. Just a few of them. I remember my mobility instructor very, very strongly stressed, if you can help it, do not cross when there is a bus, a plane, or a truck close by. Some planes fly low, so the engine is real loud, and of course we know what buses and trucks are like. And those things are loud enough that they can obstruct your ability to hear fully what's going on around you. So she stressed that very, very strongly.
Yeah, I remember that too. I remember that too, and I now cross with a bus going northbound, crossing the street, because it happens to be going the same way. It's not a turning bus. It goes all the way down Sepulveda Boulevard until it gets to, Brand, and then it makes a right, and it goes to its destination. I forget where this bus goes, but the long and the short of it, it goes straight pretty, a long way anyway. So I'd be okay.
Now, the one thing I'll admit, and this is an issue I have, and it's not because I don't know my training, actually, because I do know my training. My biggest issue is because of developmental issues physically, that is. When I cross a street, my right leg, so I have this thing where I have to deliberately and consciously overcompensate so that I don't veer into that other street.
Yeah.
But where there's an issue, and fortunately, knock on wood, I haven't had this happen too often. But when it becomes, when you're at a cross where you have pretty much surrounded by streets, there's not a whole lot of compensation room. So what I try to do is, if I know I'm, going somewhere with somebody blind or sighted, I will make sure that I'm listening to them so that I can aim myself directly at them so that I don't, so I don't veer. Not that I don't know where I'm going, but I have to make sure I don't risk that veer. Because it's just I don't want to veer into oncoming traffic. Guy, I think I ran over.
Guy.
Huh? What?
Nuts.
We interrupt this podcast. We're a new boy. One of the guys that ran over.
This guy just got. And it can happen. I mean, this is all, role playing, but it can actually happen. This is not something to joke with. This is a real life, problem that a lot of people have, not just blind people. I'm with someone at the facility. where I'm at, and I can tell they can't walk well. We went to Universal City, and they sat most of the time because they wouldn't be able to walk the park.
Yeah.
But they couldn't make it to the train on time. You know, the rest of the group made it to the train, and then I saw them off, and then I went on my way. Granted, I got on the wrong bus, which was partially the driver's fault, but that's not what this podcast is about today, anyway. In fact, that was the first time that's ever happened to me, getting on the wrong bus and knowing that. But that's not what this podcast is about. I did keep the people informed on where I was until I knew where I was. And yes, it took me longer, but you know what? I got there safely because that was what mattered. You know, I asked if I could get off at one street, and they said no because the bus doesn't stop there. And then I thought about taking another street, but I don't know the bus, so I didn't get off. I should take that bus one of these days, but that'll be after the 4th of July holiday because I'm not going out the 4th of July. It'll be too many people. And so me trying to figure out how to figure out where the bus comes and sort of take it for a ride and just tell them I want to ride because I want to know, you know, how it works and where it goes, and maybe I can spot a landmark on one of the stops that I would need to go
now,
to by this stop. Bus, I mean.
You know, one of the things I'll do, too, is, you know, if I know I'm, you know, if it's a big intersection, I'm staying on that street, I will cross ahead of time before we get to the intersection, and I'll just, like, if I'm walking with someone, I'll just, when I get down to the intersection, I'll wait for them to cross and catch up with me, you know?
Yeah.
Because then I'm avoiding the risk that way. You know,
okay, let's talk about really why we're linking this podcast, number one, to this article. And why we started a podcast downloads page. And we're using SendSpace, so thank you, SendSpace, for allowing us to use your facilities for downloads for the time being. And, you know, if we get enough interest and we do more podcasts, then I'll consider giving the website enough space and putting up an RSS feed. But for the time being, this is how we're going to do it. So thank you, SendSpace, for allowing us to do this. Let's really talk about why Podcast One is coming into existence now.
Well, all right, I'll tell my or what how it happened with me. I remember this particular day. I believe it was I don't know if it was a Wednesday. I think it was a Wednesday, actually. No, yeah, it was a Wednesday. It was a Wednesday, and because I had some appointments that day, I remember. Mm. And I had been talking with you for a while, and I remember letting you go because I needed to start getting ready for my appointments. And so I went into the shower and got dressed, and shortly after I did that, I had gotten a text from you basically saying, hey, did you get a hint of something going on, basically? And I said, yeah, I think it was about 15, 20 minutes or so ago, at that point, I hadn't even checked the time, but it felt like it was like 15 or 20 minutes ago. And,
well, I didn't get a chance. I didn't get a chance to tell you right away because I still had to do my timesheet and I still needed to grab something to eat because at that time I was hungry and I wanted to buy something to eat. So there were still a few things I was doing, so I couldn't notify you right then and there.
Yeah. And so, as I recall, told me what happened. And almost instantly, Guy, I remember thinking back to my own training. I thought, you know, I know sometimes some of us blind folks can have moments of carelessness. It happens to everybody, blind or sighted, once in a while. We're all human.
I got lucky because I crossed the street like that, and luckily it was 6:28 in the morning, and the person, I thought my signal had changed, but then when I heard cars still coming, like, uh-oh, I'm stuck. And I just kept going. My instinct just said, go. You know, you fucked up, but, you know, you need to go now. And I went.
Yeah, at that point, backtracking probably just to finish the cross. Yeah, so,
and,
yeah.
And they were like, the lights, oh, crap, the lights are red. You know, the lights, and I knew it, but I couldn't do it. And that's what happened here. A guy ran across the street on the red, caught the bus that I had just gotten off of, and it happened again today. But I cannot prove if it was the same guy because he said nothing to me. So I don't know if it's the same guy or not. So I didn't alert specific people like I did before. That was really why there was a delay. I was trying to get somebody notified because I can.
Well, and it was important to do so because people need to realize that these safety precautions that are in place are there for a reason. You know, yeah, they might slow you down a little bit. Yeah.
You'll miss a little bus. Frustrating one. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, you can miss buses, you know, but there are ways of avoiding that too. You've got to plan accordingly, you know, for these eventualities as much as you can. You know, and you can't do it, you know, you can't always be perfect every time, but, you know, when you know you have certain things to do and there's a certain way you have to go about them, you have to plan accordingly as much as possible. And, you know, chances are, you know, and thankfully for this guy, this didn't happen, but, you know, by crossing on the red, and I'm assuming it was red for the pedestrian, not
yes.
red for the driver.
Yes. So they were going they were going in front of me, near side and far side.
Okay, so you know, chances are
the bus is the bus is light. The bus that I was traveling on, it was sitting at a red light.
Yeah.
When I get off.
Yeah. And you know, chances are that you know, this could have turned out much differently than it did. Thankfully for this guy, it didn't. You know,
because I would have had to stay on scene. I would have had to call, you know, my people and say, can't go anywhere. I'll be here a while. Guy just got hit and I'm a witness of an accident. And so I'll be here a while.
Exactly. You know, so these precautions are not there just to make things inconvenient. They're there for a reason. You know?
This is a true story. I'm not making this up.
Yeah.
I could go through the text messages. I don't think Priscilla would mind, you know, especially, you know, since we're talking about this, you know, on a podcast and, you know, I can make sure his name doesn't go out, but, well, his full name isn't there anyway, but, you know, the point is, you know, I saw the same thing again today. It's like, we have got to do this now.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was the same guy.
You know, and regardless of whether it was or wasn't, you know, it's sad that we have to remind grown-ups what these precautions are there for. And, you know, these things aren't there just to, pardon my French, to fuck your life up.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not what they're here for.
I said
know?
Fuck once, so I don't see why you can't.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, so, there. You know, we need to abide by these things, you know. You know, we have good drivers, we have bad drivers, but the worst ones are the inattentive ones. And nowadays, you know, and this kind of fits along the same wavelength because this could have happened. You have these people that even though there are laws against texting while driving, TWD, just as well as drinking and driving, of course, but
yeah.
More and more people are doing that. And you could be crossing, and somebody might not see you because they're, for one, they're already, you know, they're already screwing up for two. You're screwing up on top of it, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah. It does nothing more than compound the issue further, you know? So
how about
you're not the one.
Go ahead.
You know, so if you're not the one who's in that position where you could be inattentive, be attentive to yourself and to others, because you need to be able to protect yourself and henceforth protect others by protecting yourself. You know, don't be stupid. You know, cross where you're supposed to cross, when you're supposed to cross. And if you're not going to do that, well, hey, I'm not going to be the one telling your mom and dad or your family that you're a pancake on the road.
Me neither. I mean, I may if I happen to know who you are, but and I happen to be the one that needs to do that, but I don't want to be the one to do that.
Exactly, you know?
I mean, I got lucky at 6:30 in the morning. You know, there wasn't that much traffic. You know, yes, I fucked up, but I couldn't do anything about it, and actually crossing Ventura Boulevard at 6:30 morning in the morning is a little tricky, because at that particular time it was dark, and for the other thing was I thought I heard the thing on the light go, so and then I, because somebody went, I thought that I had missed my cue, but come to find out that I didn't miss a thing. They were going to go on the red, and I followed, not knowing what was happening.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
So, but there was hardly any traffic, so I got lucky. But there have also been times, John, where I started to step off because either my foot slipped or, you know, I thought it was time, and I misjudged it. And I got honked at, and likely so. I mean, I deserved it, you know? So it does happen to the best of us.
Yeah, it does. And,
most of the time, you know, we're safe. I don't claim to be perfect. I mean, most of the time, you know, I count the lights, and I have an idea, and most of the time I'm right, you know?
You know, I'll never forget this one particular location. This is at a place I lived at, about 12 years ago, roughly. Wow, it's been that long since I lived there. I lived in this location, and I was learning how to find the bus route that would take me from that location back into the city that I'm originally from. And I was crossing every street just fine, no problem, perfect. And I'm going down this one particular road, and I remember very vividly passing this building, thinking that I was still free and clear. But the way things were laid out, I didn't know that as soon as I passed that building, here I am crossing the road.
Whoops.
So, you know, all I could do was just kind of like, okay, I'm already in the road. Might as well finish the crossing.
Yep.
You know, but I learned very quickly to recognize that building, you know. And, you know, then I was able to, you know, as time went on, I was able to, I was able to know that, okay, when I get to this building, take a good stop and listen just to make sure I'm good.
There was a time I actually went to grab a bus, and I didn't know where the one bus stop was, so I tried to catch the other one before he left. And yes, I know, I did what this one guy did, crossed on the red. You know, I had my cane out, I know I was getting honked at, and it was like, you know what, I need this bus. I did it too. But it was only...
Oh, yeah.
But it was once, and I was able to get the driver flagged, and I told him, look, I missed the bus. I need this bus. I have a 12 o'clock appointment, you know, I need you to take me because otherwise I'm late. And, you know, he took me, and I knew I fucked up. But it was something where, yes, I could have waited, but I really didn't know where the bus stops were over there. And I didn't have a phone number to call to tell him that I had missed my bus and I'm going to be late. So, you know, we all do it, folks. But it's the wrong thing to do.
Yes.
And John just told a story, and I just told a story how we both fucked up. And for us to be trained and we fuck up like that, it's deadly. Can you imagine?
It can be.
Can you imagine putting on a blindfold, losing your eyes, and doing the same thing? You know, you're lucky. You can see the cars come. You can dodge them. We don't have that luxury. They are watching us. Yes, we get honked at. Yes, we know we fuck up. And yes, we keep going and we just take a deep breath and go, okay, that was close. We fucked up. Everything's good. I'm here. Can't do that again. And you know what? I never did that again. I have never did that again. Not like that.
The thing that we have to remember, and especially you sighted folks, have to remember this, that realistically, yes, you can see the cars. Yes, you can take the risk and try to dodge the cars. But the problem is, if the driver isn't attentive to what he or she is doing, it don't matter if you see that car or not. If they're not seeing you, that makes the risk even higher. So you have to be paying attention.
Yes. And we just told stories of how we screwed up as blind people, and I'm not proud of that.
Mm-hmm.
Mine was a few years ago, and then more recently, I got lucky because it was 6:30 in the morning, and there aren't that many cars out on Ventura Boulevard at that time of morning, so it wasn't that dangerous. But yes,
I remember you telling me a story, guy, where you
both,
were with
both
that,
both incidents. I'm not proud of.
Yeah, I remember you telling me a story, guy, where you were with a group of people, and they were about to cross on the red, and you're like, hey, the light's red, and they're like, oh, as long as you're with us, you're okay, and you're like, no.
No, actually, it was just last week. The guys, they wanted to cross, and I'm like, the light's about to turn red. And he's like, and I said, so how many seconds we have? So we started across. I'm like, so how many seconds do we have? Oh, about two. We make it across the street just in the nick of time. I'm like, you don't do this with me. This is not okay. You know, he had me on his arm. Like, he took my arm instead of me taking his, you know, just because of the nature of the steps. Because they're larger and my knees can't seem to take that. So he was basically holding me.
Mm-hmm.
So he was more of a support than me, than a guide. But I said, you can't do that. That's too close for me. I know when these lights change.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was this past week. But, you know, I trusted him and, you know, we made it. But you know, I told him, by the way back, we're not doing this. So... I think when we needed to cross like that again, he saw we didn't have enough time, and we waited. Actually, there was a group of us, and some of us crossed. One of them wanted to go when the light was green, and I knew the light was going to turn red, so I held him. I said, "What? You're not going. If you want to go, be my guest, but I'm waiting until the next light." And he waited. And let the rest of the one group catch up. A group of us crossed, and then the other group got caught on the red light, and we were able to hold the bus driver to, you know, because it happened to turn out that there was a wheelchair needing to board, so they were able to cross and catch our bus. So they got actually lucky, but, you know, I wasn't trying to keep the group together, but I knew, you know, from crossing Vano and Van Nuys Boulevard. You're not. I know when the light's about to turn red, and I'm not about to take that risk again. And it was, you know, 10:30 in the morning or 9:30 in the morning. So, you know, no, I'm not doing that. If it was 6:30, maybe. Not 9:30.
Yeah, put emphasis on the word maybe. You know, because when you're looking at, you know, between 7 and 9, maybe even 9:30, really depends on your location. You know, from those hours, realistically, you're talking about traffic congestion, rush hour traffic, all that stuff going on. You know, so you have all of that to contend with, and when you have that, you know, just you don't want to play games with that. You know?
And a lot of these people, especially the one that I caught, has multiple disabilities or may have an invisible disability that I don't know about. You know, and he's like, well, I wanted to catch the bus. Well, yeah, so do I, but you need to understand that this is not okay. If you do it again, you're doing it at your own risk, and I'm not responsible. You know,
mm-hmm.
I was trying to look out for you. Next time, I'm not going to necessarily be there, or if I am, I'm not going to say anything to you, and your ass is going to get kicked. I mean,
yeah.
I wish I was there when he got talked to, but I, you know, at the same time, I had my own, you know, place I needed to be, and yes, you know, Priscilla, you know, texted me at 5:30, 6 o'clock at night and said thank you, and I was sort of scared. I'm like, did I do the right thing? And she said yes.
Of course she did the right thing.
And there's a good thing I have spies out there. You know, she said that to me. And I'm not trying to be a spy, but I don't, you know, there's a time where I felt I needed to say something. And she's,
you know,
my
contact at this place. You know, I think I would have worded it a little bit differently. I would have said, thank God I've got eyes out there. You know, someone that will, you know, let her know of something that is truly and honestly a concern.
No, I knew what she meant, you know, but you know, it's like, you know, I'm glad I've got, because I'm not the only one that's contacting her about stuff, so. You know, technically we're kind of spies. They don't know we're out there, and they don't know where we're going, but we let them know stuff, you know? That's sort of like a spy on patrol.
Yeah.
So I think I saw him again today, but I can't prove it. So I didn't say anything.
Yeah.
You know, so let's talk about this article that we're linking this podcast to, and also on our downloads podcast. What did I call this here? While I look this up, I call it a download portal, podcast portal is what I think I called this. Why can't travel? I call it the downloads page, but then I also said our podcast downloads page. So it's a podcast downloads page. It's going to be, you know, strictly downloads with no RSS right now, but that may change depending on how this goes. So it's a podcast downloads page, and the article we're linking to, let's talk about it.
Yep. So, you know, you and I bounced back and forth for about a week and change, where to go with this, how to do it, you know, what is the best way to do it. And we were, for a while, both really stumped with, you know, what's the best thing to start with. And so I thought, well, okay, we're trying to, you know, reach out to, I mean, part of the idea is of what we've been, you know, this whole project that we've been doing is to reach out to those who are sighted, teach them more about what we do, how we do it, how we get around, et cetera, et cetera. You know, so that was kind of what got me thinking on the direction to start with. So finally, on my part, you know, you had called me up and said, where should we start with this? And I thought, well.
And I've been saying, I need to write. It was getting to me. You know, it's like, I've got to write. You know, give me some direction and I'll take it.
Yeah, so you called me up, I think it was Friday. You called me up Friday afternoon or evening, whichever it was. I think it was evening, my time afternoon.
Yeah, it was
yours.
Evening. It was about 4:30.
Yeah, so you called me up and, you know, you asked me, and I got to thinking. I said, well, perhaps what we should do is kind of recap the idea that some people know they have to be thus and such. And then we can talk about the training that we do or that we had to go into, but not get too in-depth because sighted people don't really know all of that to the degree that we do. And so we had to kind of, you know, use the keep it simple, stupid method, you know.
Yeah.
So, once I gave you those ideas, man, you just rolled. I mean, I had no idea how far you were going to take it by Friday night. I remember reading the
first
initial draft.
Yeah, the first two paragraphs. And I said, I got this. And Saturday afternoon, I was able to finish writing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it really turned out well.
That was it.
A period.
I just missed a period. I closed my quote but forgot the period.
Oops.
And I only realized that after I told Dropbox to save it, and I knew where it was, and I knew exactly where to go put it, and so it wasn't that big of a deal, but you know, I forgot one period, but I did all of that on my phone.
Yeah, when you said you needed to write, you weren't kidding, I'll tell you.
No, it was irritating me because I knew it was coming again. I could feel it.
You know, and the thing is that the attitude I go by is if you see it once, sometime, someplace, some way, you'll see it again.
And you know what was funny? It was the same exact corner, and maybe the same, and the same bus. It may have not been the same bus number, but it was the same damn bus. About the same time, and I'm not sure about the person, but it was the same exact time, roughly. 7:20
a.m. Let me tell a story about the importance of us knowing what we're doing versus driving. Me and my now ex-girlfriend, we were crossing a particular street. I forget what street now. I remember we were on our way home. We were crossing a street, and we crossed the street, no problem. We just finished the crossing. And this person in a vehicle hits the light pole that we were standing at just a minute before.
you told me this story.
You know, I mean, all I hear is, what the hell was that?
What the hell was that?
And she goes, that could have been us. I'm like,
Let's
get out of here. And later on that night, I had her go back down there to check out the situation, see if the light pole was restored. Thankfully, it was. But, you know, the reality of it was that we were standing there just a moment before, you know. But thankfully, thankful to our attentiveness, we didn't have.
How about my story? I was on the phone with you. I left the restaurant, which, by the way, I ate at the other day, last Friday at 2 o'clock for lunch. You know which restaurant. I don't need it.
Yes, I do, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I ordered the fish, and I got everything I wanted. And yes,
they actually did it right this time?
Yes, and I told them, I said, I don't eat here much because the service, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. You want my honest opinion? I told them. I said, you know, the one time I ate here, you know, I really didn't say anything because I don't come here often.
Yeah.
But now I'm saying something, and I want it right this time.
And what did they say that?
Nothing really. The waitress sort of said, I'll make sure it's the way you want it, and she did. She even refilled my drink, which was nice. But anyway, similar to that afternoon.
I'll never forget the steak dinner you got that one time that screwed that up.
Pretty much. But it was way before that steak dinner that I had last year.
yes.
But I still remember this way too well. I had the house to myself. And I called you up. I was, you know, checking in. I crossed the street. I'm like, what the hell was that? And it was pitch dark. I was like, what the fuck was that? And all I heard was boom, 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 right? So the two of us cross back over. The next thing I know, we hear sirens. I'm like, oh shit, I'm blocked. Come to find out, some stupid... And I knew it was going to happen. In fact, I hate crossing over here because of it. And I think, and every time, and I keep looking at these cars now. I did it today. You know, cars started to go, oh. You know? So I look at them.
Mm-hmm.
Some moron was going straight. The right-hand turn car started to go. Well, they sort of didn't quite make it behind each other. And since I was a witness, yeah. I went, time to go.
You know, I'll never forget another story that's kind of similar, but yet different in a way. This would have been 95. I was 17 back then, and it had been raining out, and I was going out to Milwaukee to visit a friend. And so I was in Milwaukee. We're at the street. We're heading back to her house. We're at the bus stop. We're standing there. We're shooting the shit, you know, with the umbrellas in hand because it's raining like a beast out there. And all of a sudden, within, I think, feet of us, I'm not exactly sure how many feet, I'd say no more than 50 feet away. All of a sudden here,
yeah.
I don't know if the person hydroplaned exactly, but that kind of prevented us from hitting the bus right away.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, and all of these stories, folks, you know, as true as they are, and we're probably chuckling a little bit about them now, but they are not funny. I mean, you know, the officer said, "What'd you see?" Well, I can't quite see, but I heard what happened, so they corrected themselves. You know, and I said, "Here's my number. You know, if you have any questions, you know, call me. I'll be home all evening. You know, can you help me cross the street so I can get on home?" They helped me, you know, navigate the mess. I went home. Stupid cat must have brought a mouse in the house because I remember alarming the house. Then I opened the dumb door because I wanted to let the thing outside. Son of a bitch. Right? I'm like, oh, man, this is not my night.
Speaking of that cat, that cat used to come to you all the time. I haven't heard about that cat anymore. Is that cat gone now?
Yes, that cat is gone now. There's one cat left, and I don't see that much. But actually, that cat is still living, I think. But anyway,
remember that cat would come up to you, or would you be sitting in your chair, and that cat just plop right up behind you.
that cat's not around anymore. The little one is.
Man.
Yeah. But anyway, you know, all of these stories go back to this article, and this article I guess we'll go ahead and rehash this a little bit. Let me open this up. Oops. It would help if I go into the right folder.
Nice guy.
Huh?
Nice.
Yeah. We're calling this Rules of the Road Reality Check.
Not rules of the burps. Just for the, you know.
The rules of the burps. The first paragraph, although I really don't know how accurate I am.
Very accurate from what I read.
I talk about how you are taught how to tell the different lights at intersections you learned across the street, and how you take the knowledge when you learn how to drive. When you're, 14, 15, you're already crossing streets, I hope safely, for God's sakes.
Yep, and if you're one of those kids that rode bikes as a kid, you use that same knowledge when you ride a bike.
You're taught the rules of the road when you ride a bike. If the light's red, you put your foot on the curb, and you wait your turn.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are blind enough where you are able to see the lights changing, congratulations. I know most of us can't, but there are some blind people who are considered blind. They can't read a whole lot, but yet they have enough vision to see the lights. Mm-hmm. And there are some like myself, and then there are some like John. All right, so that's the first paragraph. The second paragraph talks about my recollection of how I learned orientation and mobility, how they gave us, a wood basically square, one street, one way of the grass was north-south, the other was east-west. We learned directions. We learned directional corners. We learned, which way's north, which way's south, which way's east, which way's west. They'd say, all right, put your paw on the northwest side of the street. And you had to sit there and do it. They would not let you go anywhere. This they wanted to get you, your brain, ingrained with this.
And I remember my first experience with the whole north, south, east, west thing, beyond just knowing the basic north is front, south is back, west is left, east is right thing.
Yeah.
Beyond that, I remember in seventh grade, I remember my mobility instructor actually started doing that with different locations in the school. Certain hallways a certain hallway was actually considered the north hallway, not by the school designations, but for mobility purposes. Another school would be, another hallway would be west hallway, south hallway to east hallway, things like that.
Yeah.
And so I had to learn these different compass directions, and my mobility instructor would actually say, okay, go to the northeast, go to the northeast easternmost classroom in the school. So I'd actually have to go and find that, using compass directions. So I actually learned that way, and then then came the outdoor travel when I was about eighth or ninth grade, I'm not sure which. Then came that, and I remember, we had to not only be able to learn north, south, east, and west by, street corners and shelves, but we had to be able to tell by the feel of the sun where it's at. And sometimes that can be tricky on a cloudy enough day.
That's yes, and that screws me up seriously.
yeah.
That's why I don't like traveling when it's raining, especially when it's raining.
I hate traveling when it's snowing, so yeah.
Okay, so the third paragraph talks about what parallel and
Good, I tried again.
I'm just realizing I could have probably made the third and fourth paragraphs one. But the third paragraph pretty much is a short paragraph. We learn how to cross the street and what parallel and perpendicular are, and we have to stand at an intersection and watch the light. We go through like two, at least with me, I think it was like two or three sessions.
Oh, yeah.
So we learn how the patterns work.
You know,
once
I remember
we cross,
that.
Then we cross.
I remember with that, you know, as I read the article that you had written, I remembered back to when I was learning about crossing with lights and things like that. We had this thing. We'd go to a mall in Illinois, you know, a nice little drive, but we would spend the whole day in this mall. It was in Woodstock, Illinois. And I think it was Woodstock. No, Woodfield. Sorry about that. For those of you in Illinois. We'd go to this mall, and we'd spend the whole day in this town. And, you know, we work on street crossings at intersections with lights and four-way intersections and all of this stuff, you know, because where I was going to school, we didn't have a lot of four-way intersections over there, so it was not really conducive to the higher traffic street crossings that we would eventually in life have to learn. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we learned about crossing with lights then, and you know, back then, here's the funny thing, guy. Back then, we didn't have the street crossing lights
like we do now. No, we didn't either. Yeah, and I didn't I didn't even touch on that. And maybe I should in a future article.
Yeah, and you know, the funny thing about that is in this particular town that I live in, I remember this would have been back in 2003. It was only then that they were actually considering putting those lights in.
We don't really have that many here. Only this past year did Ventura and DeSoto, where I live, get one. And I've seen them a few other places, but boy, I wish there were talking signs, because boy, when you get down to like Foothill Boulevard in Pasadena, I almost got scared shitless, because the thing actually said, I forget what it said, but it was talking, and I like literally got scared shitless. Like, you ought to be kidding me, right? What is it? What street is this? Right?
Yeah.
It was like, walk sign is on, crossing Foothill. I'm like, what? Oh, it's a talking sign. So, all right, the next paragraph, I talk about, maybe I should combine this into one paragraph. I'm probably going to do that. But the next section, which I'll probably put in the third paragraph, talks about how we learn lights that have left-hand turns, like the one at Ventura Boulevard and Sepulveda Boulevard.
Mm-hmm.
Ones that have right-hand turned lights. I can't think of a street crossing at the moment, or even both.
Yeah.
So we learn that. And then I talk about the scenario we've been pretty much talking about all podcast long in various forms or another. I didn't mention any names. I didn't even mention the date. And I asked you, if you were even paying attention and reading, you know what happened.
Well, and what I liked about the way you mentioned the guy, and folks, when you read the article, you're going to see this yourself, but what I really liked about it was how you put it on them to picture themselves in that position.
Yeah, picture it. Think
about
it.
They're the ones witnessing. Yeah.
Yeah, witness it. Witness it with me.
You know, and so I was like, yeah, this is good because you're not mentioning names. You're actually creating the scenario, and they will have to literally put themselves in the shoes. Well, for the sake of the podcast, I'll mention it, that you were in. You know, so that, yes. You know, it really puts it in a whole different light. I'm like, yes, this is exactly what we're looking at right here. This is what we want people to do. We want to bring it to you in a way that's going to have. Oof, a going soda. Yeah.
But
at any rate, you know,
the biggest sentence
we're trying to create the most impact. You know.
Yeah, and the biggest sentence that I really close with, before we link the podcast with, is. There are laws in place where people must obey, and not doing so can get you in trouble with the law.
You know, and if, you know, if you folks, any one of us, really, if any one of us breaks this law, I hope that the worst outcome for you is that you get in trouble with the law, and that the worst outcome is not you end up like a pancake on the road.
Because
if you get in trouble with the law over it, you know, you can do what you got to do, whether it's a fine or whatever the case may be, and usually that's what it is.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you get into some minor trouble with the law over something like this, be thankful that that's all it is, you know, because...
They may give you a warning and say, you know what, we understand, you know, but don't let this happen again. You know, don't let us catch you doing this again. And it may go into your file, it may not, but they basically give you a warning. Don't fuck up, because you may not be so lucky.
Yeah, you know, and, you know, next time you can get a fine, which, again, they deal, or the next time you could end up being the one that they're taking to the morgue. And that's the worst outcome. So,
yeah.
You know, be mindful. You know,
you could probably spend, you know, if it, you know, they may, depending on what they want to do with you, they could, you know, say you're spending the day in, you know, or the night in jail. You know, let you think about it.
They could do that,
but, you know, it depends, you know, on what they, how they feel and what they want to do. I don't know the law that well, but I know that you can get in trouble for that, and you know, I don't know what the laws are, and that's for you to find out and really understand more than us, because we're trained. I mean, yes, we fucked up. Yes, we told these stories, but boy, we are not proud.
No,
at least I'm not.
No. I mean, I can tell stories of very successful street crossings where, you know, where I knew what I was doing, and, you know, I handled it just fine. And, you know, but there was this library that I used to go to all the time out in the place I used to live in. And, I knew the route. I knew exactly what to do and when it was safe to cross. And I'd get to each corner and I would cross, you know, when I knew it was truly safe. And there was one guy, he's like, you know, he told me, like, I admire your ability to do that. I said, well, thank you, but it's part of training.
Yeah. And I keep telling people, you know, how do you know it's time? Well, I was trained. This is part of training. And, you know, just before my bus driver who took another route, I caught him Friday afternoon. He's like, "You again?" I gave him our website because I've talked to him about this. And, you know, he's been truthful with me. He's like, "Look, you know, even when we drive, we look left, we look right, you know, we look left, and we're supposed to look right again. But most of us aren't doing that. So by the time you're crossing, you know, we're already making up our mind to go because we've, you know, we're not seeing anything to our left, and that's the last place we look. So we need to be trained to look to the right again." And it is so true. I don't know how you're supposed to do it when you drive, but if that's the way you do, then maybe you need to look that extra right and make sure that somebody's not standing at the curb, cane or not. You know?
Exactly.
Maybe that's what we need.
You know, and I guess if I had a final thought,
yes,
which I kind of do.
Yes.
But I guess my final thought would be, those of you walking or in wheelchairs, whatever the case may be, if you're not in a motor vehicle, make sure you're watching. Those of you in cars, trucks, buses, whatever, make sure you're watching too. You know, I know that it's easy to get in the mindset that, okay, I don't see anything ready to go. Well, okay, take one more quick look. But there you go. You know.
And he made one point that I found interesting. You know, most of the backs of wheelchairs, or at least a lot of them that the bus driver that I had talked to before he took on his new route, as the buses changed this week, he said that a lot of these chairs have flags on the back of their chair, and they don't see it until they're about ready to make their right turn, and then they realize, oh, there's a chair. You know, and they stop and they let them cross and you know, it's all good. But you can't see the flag when the chair is sitting there waiting for, you know, it's time to go down the ramp to cross, mm-hmm. because they have to stay in a safe distance so that the chair doesn't roll down the ramp and into oncoming traffic, which could be quite interesting.
In a not so good way.
Yeah, I always tell my partner, when you're standing there with your walker, you know, hold the thing with your brakes, locked. Not necessarily with the things down, because we know those brakes don't work. But you know, put it so that you're braking the thing so that it's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
I've told my partners that. I've told so, because I think it's the right thing to do.
Yeah, you know, and we do this not to lecture people, but we do this because we want to make things safer for all people, not just people with blindness or other disabilities. We want to make things safer for all people. You know, I mean, wouldn't it be nice, and of course, maybe this is a pipe dream, but it's a good one. Wouldn't it be nice, you know, to not hear about somebody getting hit as they were crossing the street? Wouldn't it be nice to not hear about, you know, a fatality of that nature? Because, I mean, that would just make things so much easier for law enforcement as well as people in general.
I mean, the latest was there was an 8-year-old boy and a grandmother crossing the street at like downtown or Beverly Hills. Remember that?
Yes,
and,
I do remember
that. And somebody wasn't paying attention and killed the little boy, and the grandmother's like barely hanging on. Wasn't that about the size of that? I think so.
Yeah.
I see it all the time in the LA Times, in the Metro section. I don't read it every day because I just can't stand all that sad news, but
yeah, it's sad to see those things, and people, we, all of us, we can prevent this kind of thing, and so that's kind of what this is really about, along with teaching you how blind folks do what they do, it's summertime, it's outdoor season, everybody likes to be outdoors, but play it safe, if you got to go somewhere, do what you got to do, play it safe.
That's why I leave at 6:30 in the morning. If I don't catch the 6:45 bus, I know I can catch the next one. And, if I don't catch the 7:07 bus, I know I got the one at 7:12. And if I miss that, I've got one at like 7:20. And I can't be in any hurry. And you guys have got to realize, this is although the times have slightly changed a little bit for our bus system, You need to play it safe. You can't be fooling around. And if I find out it was the same guy, I'm really going to have to call somebody and tell them that they need to put this guy on the transportation, because this is the second or third time that I've caught him doing this, and this is not safe.
Exactly.
They've got a bus company that they have busing us in, and I was bused in from there, even though I'm capable of taking the bus, but it was more of a time constraint than anything else, because I'd be arriving too early, so they just put me on the bus, and while I didn't like the bus, there was aspects of that I did mind. I could sleep in a little, get some email done, but at the same time, I left the driving up to the driver, and I remember being in an accident just down the street from my own house. Some moron, we were passing this street, some moron ran right into the bus door. And, nobody was injured, but I was shaken up pretty bad. Mainly because I was in front. I was more shaken up than probably most. And they thought it would be cute to try and get out of the bus with the front of the bus being full of glass, and I told him to sit down. Nobody's going anywhere, even myself. And it was my dad's birthday that day. I'll never forget it. So they went out. They saw us there, but I told them, go on. I'm not in the mood. They wouldn't even let me off to walk home. Once our other bus came, they drove me home, and I swore I was not. I was too shaken up. And some of them off my bus didn't come the next day. One of them was still crying from the incident a day or two later. Yeah, it shook them up pretty good.
So. It's what we do on the road is no joke, and we have to be mindful of it.
And our bus driver did look and didn't see anybody coming, but the car, that street actually is what we call a standing green. So, Serenia Elementary, Serenia, which is where where I am. Serenia has the standing green. They do have their stoplights along the way, but this was a small little street where it had the line, I'm trying to think of the term they give for the limit line.
Yes.
And so they are required to stop while we have no line at all, so we are allowed to go through. Well, the car didn't stop.
All I can say is, oh God.
So so every time I passed that street when I was riding the bus, I'm like, uh-oh. And I'd be, like, bracing for another impact.
And sadly, rightfully so.
Now I don't have to worry about that because, number one, I don't walk that side of the street. I walk this south side of the street. And even I've tried walking that side of the street. There are too many cracks and broken sidewalk for me to trip and fall over. So they've told me, don't do that anymore. It's like I wanted to do something else, but I could have fallen over because half that sidewalk's broken up and pretty much a mess.
Yeah.
So I'm stuck trailing a fence.
Are they working to repair that? Or?
What's that?
Are they working to repair that or what?
I don't know what they're doing. They recently just redid our... Remember I told you they were redoing Serenia? They actually repaved the street?
Yeah, I remember that particular day we were sitting there on the phone and you're like, oh my God, you hear that?
Yeah, they repaved the street that day. But I don't know what they're doing about the sidewalks. But I was told not to go on that side, on the north side of the west side of the street. I'm supposed to be on the east side of the street. And so I'm stuck.
Yeah.
But that's pretty much what the article covers. It, you know, covers how, and I think in another article, we're going to really get into, really the ins and outs of orientation or mobility. I think that would be kind of fun to do.
That would be fun to do. Definitely.
Because, while we have a site of resources and things, I want this to also be a place where we can talk and, you know, maybe I'll get vendors on and we'll talk canes and various things. So I hope this won't be a once a week podcast. This will be, you know, when time allows and when we have something. But I'm hoping, you know, and maybe I'll air this. I'll talk to Herbie and maybe I'll air it through, you know, the Magnitude server. So that it, you know, gets aired at its own time so that we don't do like all podcasts Thursday on one server. We do have two servers to do all of this. So, you know, we'll probably air these, you know, when we have something to air, like this one. And I hope people get a benefit out of this. You know, I'll create show notes and I'll post those show notes to the blog and it'll link to, you know, articles if it needs to be linked to one. And I really hope that, you know, while these true stories, and we're laughing about them now, but they were no joke when they took place. This was not funny.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I think the only reason we can laugh about them now is because we can see where we screwed up and, you know, and we can kind of go, how can I have been so stupid to screw that up, you know?
Yeah, me too. Especially at 6:30 in the morning, and I know better. I was probably tired,
maybe you didn't have your cup of coffee yet.
but listen, in all seriousness, though, that is not an excuse for pulling that shit.
No.
I didn't have my cup of coffee. I don't give a fuck. I don't normally drink coffee. You know, I do occasionally, but I don't make that as an excuse on why I fuck up.
No, I mean, yeah, you could say you were kind of out of it and were thinking, yeah, that's probably true, but it's not an excuse.
No. Not today. Probably could have gotten away with it 10 years ago when we didn't have smart things now, but we got smart things now. That's not an excuse either. You know, usually, if I'm crossing, I'm not saying anything to you.
Yep. And I usually when I know you're crossing, I wait, you know, and when you start talking, I know you're safe. I know you've made it across.
Because these guys are freaking weird down here. I mean, they haven't let up.
Oh, no.
they don't let up. And they don't care it's 100 degrees outside. Dad was saying it was 105 today, and they wanted me to get in the pool, but I don't go in pools with no rails. I'm sorry. I was taught with rails, and I don't go in on stairs with no rails. So.
Because your dad hasn't put rails in at least the stairs.
Nope. This pool has never had rails. And now I refuse to go in a pool with no rails. I'll go in other pools with rails, but I won't go in this one.
Well, yeah, and you know the thing about that is, you know, like in my case, you know, as far as rails go, as far as getting in it, I don't necessarily have to use the rails because I can just go down a few stairs with the rail, and the next thing you know, I'm preparing to make myself a good launch into the pool, you know.
Yeah,
but
we have none. We have no rail, so I refuse. The kids actually wanted to help me, but I refuse. I want no part of it. They want me to sit down and do this, and it's like, no, it's too complicated. You know, there should be a law to put rails on all the pools.
Yeah, I mean, like my mother, you know, they have for her pool, they've got a, you know, kind of a rail ladder system, if you will. You know, you climb up, you know, you get into the pool and you're good to go, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're not going to put rails in, you run a risk because, you know.
Even for the little kids.
Yeah.
That's why I don't go into this pool anymore. And that's all about safety and even for, you know, blind and sighted, you know, it should be a good idea to put rails in your pools.
You know, and okay, if you know where the edge of the pool is, you want to just make a good dive into the pool, that's fine, but then at least when I get out, give me a set of rails to work with.
Yeah.
You know? Because I'm not going to go scooting up the stairs on my ass to get it.
Yeah, me neither. then the question is, how come you don't use your cane? Well,
how many blind people do you see with a cane in the pool?
That doesn't quite work in a pool.
No.
No.
I mean, when you have that much water, the cane just doesn't serve
any purpose.
Any real purpose, no. Oh, man, I just had this image of somebody trying to use a cane in the pool.
Question could come up. So we're gonna. It won't work.
I've never tried it, but
I don't think
somebody has tried it and had success with it, I'd love to hear your story.
Yeah, me too. Me too. With that, let's wrap this up. Email us at contact, contact at whitecanetravel.com, and visit our website where you can find more information about canes, mobility, resources on teaching and all sorts of stuff. Still waiting on Steve Areno, but hopefully we'll hear from him soon. We got a call into him. So.
The best way to do it is
email us. And if you'd like to call and leave a voice message, I've got a K7 at 206 222-3143. If you want John to hear it, let me know, and I'll make sure that he gets it, and I can send it on to him. 206-222-3143. I think that's the best way to get a hold of us. We've got all our contact information on WCT site. Yes, we had fun. Yes, we laughed a little, but boy, I think the serious parts of this really needs to hit home. And yes, I know there was some strong language, but I assume we're dealing with adults here. And if there are children, you know, listening, you're going to be aware of some of these words anyway. It was infrequent, but just the same, you know.
Yeah, and you know, if you are a kid and you're listening to this, you know, do us a favor and make sure your parents know what you're listening to.
Yeah. This is meant for you guys, for everybody, but we want you to be aware. And you know, and of course I'll put an intro, you know, on at the beginning and mention it like I do with all of my podcasts, that there is some strong language, you know, just so that our assets are covered. But do let your parents
you said
know that
ass.
You huh?
I said you said ass.
I said ass. you know, we got to cover ourselves legally, and so
yeah.
Even though there was some, you know, infrequent, if you will, I still have to put it. So we'll make sure to do that. What do you think we should cover on another edition of this podcast?
Well, I think the next podcast, and we'll probably have an article to go with it. At some
should
point.
Cover O&M?
Yeah, we'll talk about O&M. You know, at this point, I'm not sure when we'll have the article and the podcast, but, you know, it's something we'll probably be looking on in the next few weeks to month or whatever. You know, probably get something, another podcast out of it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
We'll try it once a month. That'll give us some content.
Yes, absolutely.
And speaking of content, John knows I go bowling, and I was just notified today that there was no bowling, and there probably won't be for at least a few weeks, because the person who facilitates the bowling that I go to, because the agency I was with allows me to keep my slot, recently got into a car accident. And this is what we were talking about, you know, all podcast long. We don't have any details. I saw the text, and I really, like, oh my God, did I just read that right? And I don't know if you sensed anything then. It was about 3:30 in the afternoon when I read that. But it pretty much shocked me. You know, you are very careful in driving. You know, I don't know how old Lee is, but she was involved in a car accident recently. We don't know when. Maybe it was a couple of weeks ago, and we're just finding out now. But hopefully she recovers soon. You know, and again, you know, this goes back to what we've been talking about all podcast long. It doesn't matter if you're driving, biking, walking, whatever. You have got to be paying attention. We don't know what happened, and if I get an update that's worth sharing, I'll pass it along in a blog post of some sort. But, you know, it is worth mentioning at the end of the podcast that, you know, yes, we aren't going bowling. Here's why, you know, and some moron hit. You know, the person who is responsible for our bowling, and now we're not going anytime soon because they're not doing well, and it's sad. You know, it is very tragic.
And our thoughts and prayers are with her and her family, and hope that she recovers without any long term issues or problems.
Yeah. And she drives. She's driving. Can you imagine if she was walking?
Yeah, the possibilities are.
Or even disabled in some way after all of this. We don't know. Could happen.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something to think about. And I want to bring this up at the end of the I wanted to bring this up at the end of the podcast to show you that even someone driving can have it bad. And you sighted people don't give a shit anymore. There, I said it. It's sad.
Yeah, everybody's seemingly so wrapped up in their smart devices and their you know, whatever else is they're doing, they're not paying attention to what's going on around them, and they need to.
Yeah, and this is why I bring it up now. You know, I don't know her that well, but it's, you know, when she cancels bowling because she's either sick or, you know, has something else to do, I think about her. Make sure she's okay. Now she's not doing well. And that literally, I don't know if you felt it, and I'll talk to you about that in a little bit. But, you know, folks, we're going to end with that. Contact at whitecanetravel.com to email. Full contact information on our website. John, thank you so much for being on.
Not a problem.
And
look forward to the next one.
We will see you all next time. Any final thoughts?
Well, if you got to go somewhere, be smart, be safe, keep your ears open, keep your eyes open, and let's not hear about you ending up as a pancake.
Absolutely. Let's hear you eating pancakes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, pancakes. That's how we do it.
With that, thanks for listening. See you all within a month here on WhiteCaneTravel.com. So long.